We present More Work for the Undertaker by Marjorie Allingham, dramatised for radio by Margaret Eatall, with Francis Matthews as Albert Campion, Geoffrey Matthews as Lug, and Tim Meats as Detective Inspector Luke. The setting for More Work for the Undertaker is London, 1946.
Lug, put out my tails, will you?
Going it a bit, aren't we, now we're back from the wars?
Yes.
Who's the lucky party this time?
Just do it, Lug.
All right, cock, keep your hair on. My, we are short today. Did you have a nice time with Mr. Roadston?
Oh, very pleasant. We sat in the park.
Oh, very healthful.
Yeah, very. We watched a charming old lady in a motoring veil and six different dresses and grass in her shoes received sixpence from a passing do-gooder. Apparently a daily occurrence.
A simple mendicant. Blimey, don't they give Oatsy Boy anything to do at the yard now he runs the place?
Ah, the sister of the lady in the park died recently.
What's that got to do with us?
Well, she may have been helped on her way. Poisoned.
Oh, yeah?
Yes, Oates has put Superintendent Yeo onto it, and Yeo wants me to make a few discreet inquiries.
Oh, is he there too? Chief Busybody's get-together, was it? Thought you was giving all that up and going to be respectable. A government island. Oh, I've got me advert written out.
Got your what?
My advert. Gentleman's gentleman seeks interesting employment. Remarkable references. Title preferred.
I see.
Yeah, well, that's about it. I can't come with you, cock. I don't want to see myself an international incident. Yeah. But can't you oblige the chief just this once?
No, I fear not, no. But it is interesting.
Mm.
Is the Palinode family a relics of a gracious past? They're odd and brainy, but not the sort who get poisoned.
Well, could happen to anybody.
Yes, well, they'll know soon enough. They're digging the poor sister up again, Miss Ruth Palinode.
It tickles your fancy, doesn't it? Can't resist it.
As a matter of fact, Renee Roper has asked me to go and stay for a bit.
Well, that nice old stage lady, how does she fit in?
Well, she apparently now owns the house where all the Palinode tribe live.
Mm-hmm.
Well, those that are left, anyway. So she's naturally very concerned.
Yeah, what a coincidence. Must be an omen.
No, two crows don't make a summons, Lug. You need three for that.
Move your arms.
What's the time?
Hmm?
I've got to ring Lord Dodaway before five.
Oh, so it's final, then. You're going to accept.
Yes, I am.
Yeah, better tell the lady wife, then. Lady Amanda rang up and asked, but I said I didn't know.
What's this?
Hmm?
Courtesy, sympathy, comfort in transit. Jazz Bowles and Son, the practical undertakers, 12 Apron Street, West 3. Apron Street is where the Palinodes live.
That is a private letter, that is.
Mm.
Oh, well, go on, read it if you like.
To Mr. Magus Fontaine Lug, Esquire, care of A. Campion, Esquire, 12A Bottle Street, Piccadilly, Westmont. Dear Magus, if Beattie was alive, which she is not, more's the pity, she would be writing this instead of me and the boy.
We was wondering this dinner time. Can you get your governor to give us a bit of a hand in this Palinode kick-up, which you may have read of in the papers? Exhumations, as we call them in the trade, are not very nice and bad for business. Without disrespect, bring him along for a bit of tea and a jaw any day, as we do not do much after 3:30, and we'll do less if this goes on. Remembering you very kindly, and all forgotten.
All forgotten, I hope. Yours truly, Jas Bowles.
Amazing cheek, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, he's a horrible man.
Seems to know you pretty well.
He's my brother-in-law. Married my only sister, the poor worm shoveler.
I see.
Yeah, during the war, that was the first war, I mean. Haven't spoke to him for 30 years. Come my little trip inside, he behaved as though I took him with me. Sent back me wedding present to be. And I wrote him clean off me slate. Now he pops up out of the past and asks a favour when I couldn't help him if I could bring myself to it.
Is this a put-up job?
Some remarks, I do not, yeah.
Yes, when exactly did this arrive?
10 minutes ago, late post. No need to get excited. What's Jazz to you, anyway?
The third crow, it seems.
Oh, yeah?
Yes.
Shall I get his lordship for you?
No. Get me Chief Superintendent Yeo.
DDI Charlie Luke, sir. Superintendent Yeo said I'd find you here. I'm glad to see you.
I hope it's not as bad as that.
That's our ration. 4 doubles each.
Oh, good.
Ma Sharp looks after us here at the plate layers, but she says it'll have to last the night. It's gold dust these days.
It's very generous. Tell me, how many Palinode murders have you actually got on your hands?
Don't know of any for certain. Not yet. I don't know what you've heard so far, but I'll rough it in as it's come to me. It began with Dr. Smith, a tallish old boy married to a shrew. Starts getting poison pen letters.
Oh, yeah.
I'll show you the filth later. But chiefly, accuse him of conniving at murder. Old lady called Ruth Palinode, murdered, buried, no questions asked, Doc to blame. Doc gets wind up slowly. Phil's patients may be getting the same letters. I'm called in. Now we go to Apron Street.
That's the Palinode house, is it?
Not yet. Street important. Narrow little way. Old Brotherhood Chapel, now the Thespis Rep Theatre. Highbrow, harmless, one end. Portminster Lodge, the Palinode house, the other. The district's gone down like a drunk in 30 years, and the Palinodes with it. Now, a dear old variety gal turned lodging house keeper owns their house. Mortgage fell in. She inherited. Her own place got blitzed. So she moved over with some of her old boarders and took the Palinode family in her stride.
Well, Miss Rope is an old acquaintance of mine. She did me a very good turn back in 36, when I was having a bit of bother with some ballet stars.
Did she, though? Then you can tell me something. Could she have written the letters?
Well, I don't know sufficiently well to say. I should have guessed she was the last person in the world not to assign her name.
Oh, so should I. I love her. We're going on the halls, we are. But you never know, do you?
Anyone else?
Who might have written them? About 500. Any one of the Duck's patients. I'll drink up, sir. And I'll give you the smell of the street.
Ah.
Lots of small shops. Family businesses. Have known the Palinodes forever. On good terms with Reaney. One of them's a chemist. Oh, what an emporium. Great jars of coloured water in the window. Dozens of little drawers of muck. Smell of old lady's bedroom enough to knock you back. And old Pa Wilde in the middle of it looking like Auntie's ruin with his dyed hair and little black tie. When old Joey and Pantaloon Bowles dug up Miss Ruth Palinode, I must say I started thinking about Pa Wilde. I don't mean he administered whatever it was. But I bet it came from there.
When do you expect the analyst's report?
Midnight. If it's something that could only have been criminally administered, we wake up the undertakers and dig up the brother right away.
Well, that's the eldest brother, I take it.
Yes. Edward Palinode, age 67 at the time of his decease 7 months ago.
So, what is there after the chemist?
Opposite the chemist, Pa Wilde, there's only that old blighter Bowles. The bank, the entrance to the Mews, which goes down to Barrow Road. And the worst pub in the world, the Footman. Portminster Lodge is on the corner, same side as the chemist's. Enormous. Basement kitchen where Reaney entertains her chums. Palinode's as boarders, and one or two others. Old variety turn called Clary Grace, just out of the RAF. And a Captain Seaton. Oh, look through there. He's in the bar now, having his weekly half pint.
Oh, yeah.
Socially partying over in the corner.
Quite the dandy, isn't he?
Yes. Lives on next to nothing, but keeps up appearances. He was Reenie's pet boarder in her other house, so she brought him with her. He's one of the better rooms now. I think in a funny way he's enjoying all this. Bit of excitement, you see.
Why don't you want to talk about the Palinodes, Inspector?
Can't.
Why?
Don't understand them.
How do you mean?
Just that. I don't understand what they say.
Long words?
Not particularly. But when I read the verbatim reports, I keep sending for the stenographer to see if he's got the words right. He doesn't know either.
I see.
There's three of them left, I can tell you that. Mr. Lawrence, Miss Evadne, and the baby, Miss Jessica. Now, she's the girl with the concertina stockings who gets presents in the park. She does crosswords in Latin. I've seen them. They're not balmy, any of them. God knows why anyone should kill them. I gather you're moving in, sir.
At once, I thought. I brought a bag with me. Reenie's passing me off as her nephew.
It's good news to me. Sorry I can't give you a line on these people, Mr. Kempion, but they're old-fashioned and out of the ordinary. I've got the stage where as soon as I think of them, I feel a bit faint. I'll send you word of the analyst report as soon as I get it.
Oh, blast.
Who is it? Oh, it's you, Ducky. Yeah. Oh, come in, too.
Right.
There. Oh, this is good of you. I appreciate it and I shan't forget it.
Oh.
Now, how's your mother? Nicely?
As well as can be expected, Aunt Reenie.
Oh, but I know well. We mustn't grumble. Now come along to the kitchen, dear. Clary, I don't think you've met my nephew, Albert. He's the one from Berry, the knobby side of the family, dear. He's a lawyer, and one does so need one at a time like this.
Oh, I'm glad to be here, Auntie.
Pleased to meet you. My name's Grace, Clarence Grace.
Oh,
I don't suppose you've heard of it.
Now sit down, Ducky. I expect you're hungry, and I'll find you something.
Oh, thank you, Auntie. I've already eaten.
Oh, are you sure?
Oh, yes, absolutely. I had something on the train.
Oh, well, that's a mercy anyway. Have a drop of Clary Stout then, dear, while I get on with your bed. It's quite a nice room, and no one's died in it. In my time, at any rate, so you needn't be nervous.
Have some beer.
Oh, thank you.
You know, Reenie's been a pal of mine ever since I was a nipper. And somehow, I can't see you being her nephew. I should have heard of you before. I must have. She's one of the very best, Reenie's. Your old man wasn't really her brother, was he?
Only in a manner of speaking.
Oh, yes. That's rich. That's Wizzo. I should use that. You're a laugh, you are. You're going to cheer us up. Here, keep up your strength. They can't get at the bottle stuff.
Who?
The family. The Pallialis upstairs. Oh. Roll me over. You don't think Irene or I or even Captain, excuse my glove, have been going in for chemistry, do you? We're all right. We've known each other for donkey's years. It's the Pallialis, that's certain. But they can't get at the beer. Check the seals myself.
I should hardly think you were all in much danger of indiscriminate poisoning. I mean, it's not as if any further attempt has been made.
My dear old boy, you're a lawyer. You don't see the situation in a human light. Of course we're all in danger. There's a killer about, isn't there? Besides, what about the brother, the first one? He died, didn't he, last March? The police will be having him up next. They're all in it together. That's my theory.
Well, I realize they're eccentric.
Eccentric? Oh, good Lord, no. They're all number eight hats and very quite. Their old man was a sort of genius, a professor. Letters after his name. Old Miss Ruth wasn't up to the family standard. She was going a bit. Used to forget her own name and take her plate out in public and that sort of thing generally. Thought she was invisible, probably. I think the others just got together and talked it over and she couldn't make the grade.
Where could I meet one of them?
Well, you could go up now, Ducky, if you care to. Take that tray up to Miss Evadne for me. Somebody's got to do it.
Dear me. What a collection.
Oh, never you mind. That's what she has. There you are. First floor, third door on the left.
Right.
Clary, you can do Mr. Lawrence tonight. Take him a kettle and he can mix it himself.
Right.
Come in. Do come in. I'm just going. I'll let myself out, Miss Perrineau.
Put it here, on this little table. And be careful of those glasses, if you please. They're very rare. Head groom, what gars thy pipes so loud? Why bidden thy looks so snicker and so proud? Perdy plain peers, that this couth ill agree with thick bad fortune, which I thwarteth thee.
That thwarteth me, good Palinode, is fate. Yborn was peers to be unfortunate.
Infortunate. So, you're an actor, of course, I ought to have known. Miss Roper has so many friends from the stage. Tell me, out of a shop?
I'm afraid I haven't acted for some considerable time.
Oh, never mind, we must see what we can do. Now, let me see what you've brought me. Oh, yes, splendid. Now, tip the egg into the slip, right?
In?
Yes, go on, straight in. Stir as you go. Don't spill it. I dislike a dirty saucer.
Yes.
Now the sugar. Yes, that's quite right. Hand the cup to me and keep the spoon, for if you've mixed it rightly, I shall not need it. Yes, that's very nicely done.
Oh, good.
I think I must ask you to my theatrical afternoon next Tuesday. You would like to come, of course. It might lead to something, but I can't promise. The repertory theatre is overcrowded this year, but I'm afraid you know that.
I believe there is a small theatre near here, isn't there?
Indeed, there is. The Thespis. Very hard-working little troupe. Some of them are quite talented, and once a month they all come here to a little conversazione, and we have some amusing talk. I did wonder if perhaps I should put it off next week. We've had a little awkwardness in the house. Expect you've heard of it. But on the whole, I think I shall carry on as usual. The only difficulty is those wretched newspaper men. Although, in fact, they bother my brother far more than they do me.
Yes, I think I saw your brother as I came in.
No, that was not Lawrence. Lawrence is a rather different person.
Oh.
That was little Mr. James, our bank manager. I always get him to come over when I have any business. It's very little trouble for him. When you came in, I wondered if you were one of the reporters, but as soon as you capped my little piece of peel, I knew I was wrong.
I've got this thing for you. I worked it out in Rough's Guide to the Turf, but I've mislaid it.
Well, have you corn-throat?
Well, of course I have. As I've always said, the foreign wheat was completely witless. What she was doing was dangerous.
Does it matter now, after all the sheaves of alien corn are gathered?
Yeah, all the same, I had to test it. You must see that I am right. Good evening to you. Good evening,
That was my brother, Lawrence.
Oh.
He is extremely clever. Of its kind, a most ingenious mind. He prepares all the crossword puzzles for the Literary Weekly in his spare time.
Ah.
Although his real work is on the origins of Arthur. He has so many subjects.
Including horse racing, no doubt.
Horse racing? Oh, yes. But only on paper.
What does cornthroat mean?
Oh, to search, simply.
Ah.
A family reference. You may take the tray now.
Oh, thank you. Good evening, Miss Palinode. What?
There's a light switch by your side, Ducky.
Oh, just a...
Here, I've got a letter for you.
Oh, really? Thank you. Oh. Dear sir, Re-Ruth Palinode deceased. Analyst's report to hand, 0:30 hours this morning.
Organs contain 2/3 grain hyacinth in available material, indicating much larger dose. Probably administered in form hyacinth hydrobromide, but no evidence to show if taken subcutaneously or by mouth. Normal medicinal dose, 1/100 to 1/50th grain. Re Edward Boncraton, Palinol, deceased. Proposed to have up, pronto. Belvedere Cemetery, Willswich, no?
4 a.m. approximately. Cordial invitation extended, no offense taken if you cut it. See Luke DDI. Well, now, what's this for? Steady my nerves. Must I?
Oh, the whiskey's all right. Take my dying oath it is. I've had it under lock and key.
Did the policeman wake you?
Oh.
I'm so sorry. There was no great urgency.
No, I was about, you know. Well, I got used to pottering around at night during the war. The air raid wardens were always popping in. I want to talk to you, Mr. Campion.
Yes.
First of all, I want just to tell you this. I'm absolutely on the level with you. I'm more than grateful to you, and you really can trust me. I shan't keep anything back, and I mean that, see?
What's on your conscience, Auntie?
Well, there's one little thing that's been going on for a long time, and I feel I ought to mention it, dear, just so that you don't go rooting it out and being surprised. Hello?
I do beg your pardons.
Oh.
I was passing the door and thought the room was unoccupied. My attention was caught by the shaft of light.
Oh, go along with you. You smelt it. Come along. There's a tooth glass over there. Bring it here. Here. There. This is Captain Seaton, Albert.
Oh, hello.
Now, it's quite a good thing you've come, because you can tell Mr. Campion exactly how it was that Miss Ruth was taken ill.
I didn't kill the lady. On the contrary, I did what I could. I found her in the hall at 12:30. There she was, crimson in the face, and shouting out what sounded like a lot of figures. But she couldn't articulate properly, so I knew she was ill, not just mad.
Well, the doctor told me ages ago her blood pressure nearly broke his instrument.
Got her to her room, sat her in the only chair free of books, and covered her over, and went for the Sawbones next door. He was just off to officiate at a birth of some sort, and said he'd come back when he could. I came back and took another look at her, and she seemed to have gone to sleep.
That's right, dear. When I looked in about 2, she was breathing rather heavily, but I thought we'd better leave her till the doctor came.
When was that?
Nearly 3.
Uh-huh.
And she was dead by then.
He said he had thrombosis. He was expecting it. I couldn't blame him.
Yet someone did.
Oh, people will talk. Any sudden death makes a lot of stink.
At any rate, I did not kill the vulgar trollop. I had words with her, I admit it, and I still feel I was within my rights. But once and for all, I did not kill her!
Oh, shush, don't wake the house, dear.
Good night. Many thanks.
Good night.
Go there, silly old fool. Now all that'll have to come out, I suppose. It's only because of the room. Old people are like children, they get jealous. I gave him a nice room when we came here, and Ruth always wanted it. She said she'd had it as a child, and when she found she couldn't get any change out of me, she had a go at him. That's all there was to it, really. I'm not lying, Ducky. No, he was too footling to mention.
Was that the awful secret you were going to uncover?
What? Me and the captain?
Yes.
Oh, my dear, we've lived in the same house for nearly 30 years. You don't want a detective to find out any secret there. You want a time machine. No. No, I was going to tell you about the coffin cupboard.
I beg your pardon?
Well, of course it may not be coffins. Well, I've never seen inside.
Suppose you tell me what you're talking about.
Well, I've let one of my cellars, Ducky, the little ones leading off the area round by the front door, and not actually in the house at all, to old Mr. Bowles, the undertaker.
What?
Well, he asked me as a special favour, and I didn't like to refuse him.
When was this?
Oh, years ago. Well, months, anyway. Well, he's always very quiet, but, well, I thought you might possibly hear him and his son down there tonight and wonder what it was.
Is he here?
Well, if he isn't, he soon will be. He popped in when you was up with Miss Evadne to say I wasn't to be nervous if I heard him moving about between 3 and 4.
Nobody will be at... Oh, no, of course. They didn't bury him.
Mr. Edward? No, Bowles and Son didn't know. Oh, there was a fuss about that. Mr. Edward had it put in his will, the thoughtless old man. Oh, he was full of smarty ideas. He lost the family their money, being so clever. Well, there you are, my dear.
Yeah.
Now, if you hear any thumping, it's just the undertaker.
Oh, the ultimate reassurance.
Oh, are we going to have a look? Oh, I've never liked to spy on him. It's 3 or 4 months since he came last.
Lead the way. Is that them?
This way. We'll go in the drawing room. There's a window there just above the cellar steps. Keep close to me.
Good heavens. Whatever is that smell?
Oh, that's all right. That's nothing. In here. Can you hear them now?
Yeah.
Shine your torch, ducky. You'll see better. Oh!
Edward von Cretan Palinode, born September the 4th, 1878, died March the 2nd, 1946.
Mr. Edward's coffin.
Yes.
Oh, how can it be?
Good evening, sir. We did not disturb you, I hope.
Oh, think nothing of it. Wait there a moment. I want a word with you.
Doing? Stock taking?
Not exactly, sir, not exactly, although there are likenesses. It is Mr. Campion I'm addressing, isn't it?
That's right.
I'm Jazz Bowles, at your service any time of the night or day, and this is my son, Roly Boy.
Here, Dad.
I'm just taking this casket across. We hire the cellar, you see, sir, and I've had the casket in there a month or so while we was full up over the road. Now I thought, what with one thing and another, the police and that, I'd better get her back home.
She looks a very fine affair.
Oh, she is, sir. A very special job. One of our deluxe types. A casket like that would be a credit to anybody.
Yet the man whose address is on the label had other views.
Ah, you saw it, sir.
Yeah.
I'm caught and I may as well admit it. He saw your nameplate, Roly Boy. He's very fly, is Mr. Campion. I ought to have known that from all I've heard from your Uncle Maggers. Yes. Vanity, Mr. C. That's what that there nameplate shows you, the vanity of Jazz Bowles. There was a gentleman in this house once that me and the boy took a real fancy to. Am I right, Roly?
As you say, Dad.
Mr. Edward Palinode. A lovely name for a headstone.
You're trying to tell me you made it on speculation, I take it.
Ah. I see we can talk, you and me, sir. I've had old Maggers all the evening, and I thought, well, anyone who employs you must know what's what, I thought. But I wasn't sure, you see. Yes, of course. I made it on Apro, and the perishing old blighter wouldn't have it. Matter of fact, I made it to fit myself. He was no bigger than what I am. She's a lovely job. Solid oak, veneered ebony. If you'll come over to the shop in the morning, sir, I'll show her to you in the light.
It wouldn't take me a moment to come down now.
No, we won't impose on you, sir. Take her along, boy.
What, Dad?
We've got to get her across the road while it's dark, sir, if you'll excuse us.
Is Lug with you?
He's in bed, sir. Good night, sir. We feel it's an honour to have met you. See you in the morning, I hope. Good night, sir. Yes, that's it, Roly. No,
He's a very good man. He's thought very highly of in the street. But I never feel I can get to the bottom of him.
I wonder what he's got at the bottom of the coffin.
Oh, well, but it was empty. There wasn't a body in it.
No, wasn't there? Perhaps just a little foreign body?
Oh.
And now, Auntie, since we appear to overcome any initial shyness and we can speak from the heart, the stink coming up from your basement can no longer be ignored. Come on, darling, tell me the truth. What's cooking?
Oh, get along with you. It's only old Miss Jessica. It pleases her and it doesn't hurt anybody else, but I won't have it in the daytime because she gets in the way and, yes, there really is an awful smell. It's worse than usual tonight.
Oof. I've got a fine old menagerie here, haven't you? What's she doing?
Oh, making little mucks, dear. I don't think they're quite medicine, but she lives on them.
Eh?
Oh, don't you be silly, dear. Now you're making me feel quite jumpy. We've had our bit of excitement for tonight.
Where is she? May I go and see her?
Oh, my dear, you can do what you like. I told you that. She's quite harmless and the cleverest of the three in one way. At least she can look after herself. Go on, you go down. Just follow your nose.
All right, go and get your beauty sleep.
Oh, I need it, do I? Oh, you're laughing. Oh, you are a naughty boy.
Oh, who are you?
I'm staying here. I smelled something, so I came down.
No one warned you, I suppose. The inefficiency in this house is quite extraordinary. Well, never mind. I'm sorry you were disturbed. Now you know what it is, you can go back to bed.
Oh, I don't think I shall rest. Can I help?
No, I don't think so. It's not very difficult, and as a recreation, I find it amusing, even. People make a drudgery of feeding themselves. That's very ridiculous. I make it a relaxation, and I get on very well.
I see you do. You're very alert. That doesn't suggest improper food.
That's very true. Now, would you like a nice cup of nettle tea? It's quite as nice as yerba mate and very good for one as well.
Well, thank you.
Good.
I don't quite understand, though. What are you doing?
Cooking. It may seem peculiar to you that I have to do it in the middle of the night in my own home, but there's an excellent explanation for that. Have you heard of a man called Herbert Boone?
No.
There you are, you see. Hardly anybody has. He wrote a book called How to Live on 1 and 6. Now, this was written in 1917, of course, nearly 30 years ago. Since then, the index figure has risen by approximately 40%, so we must translate that as roughly 2 and a penny. Still sounds miraculous, doesn't it?
It does indeed. Do you do it?
Live on 2 and a penny?
Yes.
Oh, I do, nearly. I'll lend you the book. It answers such a lot of people's problems.
I should think it might. Dear me, yes. Now, what's in there, may I ask?
Oh, in this tin? Well, the thing that's been smelling, rather, is over there. It's embrocation for the grocer's knee. But this is broth of a sheep's jawbone. Not the whole head. That's too expensive. But cooked with herbs, it does very well.
Look, is this really necessary?
Do you mean, am I so poor that I have to live like this? Or are you merely inquiring if I'm mad?
No, I'm sorry. I don't really understand at all.
I have less money than the others, not because I'm the youngest, because I trusted my elder brother to invest the greater part of my inheritance. He was a man of ideas, but he was not very practical. Mm-hmm. He lost all our money. I will not tell you my exact weekly income now, but it is counted in shillings and not in pounds.
Oh, this is the tea, is it? Where'd you get the nettles?
Hyde Park. There are lots of weeds. I mean, herbs there, if one hunts for them. I made a mistake or two at first. You have to be exact, you know, with plants. And I was quite ill several times, but I've mastered it now, I think. Taste it, and if you can't bear it, I shall understand. But you must read the book.
Oh.
Lawrence doesn't like it either, but he drinks it. And he drinks this yarrow tea I make. He's very interested, but he's more conventional than I am. He doesn't really approve of my having no use for money. Although I don't know what he'd do if I had. But he has none. Is all this helping you, do you think, to find out who poisoned my sister Ruth?
How did you...
I know who you are. You're a detective.
Oh.
I saw you with the other policeman in the park today.
Well, you must know.
But I don't. I have no idea. I may as well admit I'm not ungrateful to whoever it was. You'll find that out, so I might as well tell you.
She was very trying, was she?
Well, not very. I hardly saw her, but I had cause to fear her. You see, the Palinod family is in the position of the crew of a small boat. If one member drinks all his allotted share of water, the rest must either watch him die of thirst or share. And we haven't very much to share, even with the assistance of Herbert Boone.
Is that all you're going to tell me?
Yes. The rest you can find for yourself. It's not very interesting.
But why? Why?
I have no gifts. I cannot make, or write, or even tell. So, I keep busy. You wouldn't like any more of that tea, I suppose.
Morning, sir.
What? Oh, morning, Luke.
Rini sent you tea, so I begged a cup for myself.
Well, thanks very much.
Officially, I'm interviewing her lawyer nephew. I don't suppose that tale's going to wear, but I suppose we may as well stick to it as long as we can.
Miss Jessica spotted me as a sleuth. She saw me with Oates and Yeo in the park.
Did she? Oh, they're not bar me, any of them. Now then, sir, what are the chances of Parwile the chemist having a basin full of hyoscine hydrobromide in his locker?
Oh, small. No, my impression is that it's rarely used in medicine. Of course, it earned its reputation as a poison when Crippen tried it on Belle Elmore.
Well, what is it?
Henbane, I think.
Really? What, the weed?
Yes, I think so. It's very common.
Oh, grows everywhere. Damn it, you could find it in the park.
Yes, I suppose you could.
But then you'd have to make the muck. I better try the dock. And then I must tackle the bank manager.
Ah, I saw him briefly last night. He'd been to see Miss Evadney. Neat little soul.
That's him. Mr. Henry James. Why does that name sound familiar? Refuses to talk about clients' finances unless subpoenaed.
Miss Ruth was spending too much before she was killed. I've got that far. Of course, Yeo says money is the only respectable motive for murder.
Well, none of these old dears has got any. They pay Rini peanuts, just 2 or 3 quid a week. Mm. And Jessica only pays 5 bob.
What?
5 shillings.
Really?
Well, she won't eat a thing except her own boil muck. I don't know how Rini does it, but she's got money. A lot of money. I hope she's not in something with Jas Bowles. That would destroy my faith in women.
Oh, no, I hardly think so, no. I mean, would she have dragged me down in the middle of the night to catch him if she were?
That's right. Well, shall we see the bank manager? I'd like to get there about 10 o'clock.
All right.
Oh, by the way, This came over the blower last night. Housebreaker called Lukey Jeffries in Charlesfield Prison Infirmary. Delirious.
Well, what on earth is
keeps
that?
Keeps whispering, Apron Street. Don't send me up Apron Street. When he's lucid, he says he's never heard of the place.
Hmm. Do I take it he's frightened?
Seems so. But there's a note at the end. Physician reports sweating and deep agitation.
Just like old Bowles last night. He was sweating too. Look, I'll get up.
Dear me, this is very awkward. I told you, Inspector, the bank can give no information whatever, save under subpoena. And I hope to goodness it isn't going to come to that. I really do.
Could you consider forgetting the bank for a moment? You know the Palinode family in a private capacity, don't you?
Yes, I suppose I do.
We'll avoid the subject of money, then. Any good?
We'll have to. What do you want to know?
It's only routine. Miss Ruth Palinode was murdered.
Is that official?
Yes, but don't publish it before the inquest is resumed and over. We're the police, you know.
You want to know how well I knew her and when I last saw her. Is that it? Well, I've known her since I was a boy, and I last saw her one morning in the week she died. I've been trying to remember which, and I think it was the morning before the day she was taken ill. She came in here.
On business?
Yes.
She had an account here?
Not at that time.
Then her account had been recently closed.
How can I answer that?
Gong. Let's get back to when you were a child. Where did you live then?
Here.
In this house?
Oh, yes. There are living quarters over these offices. My father was the manager at that time. In due course, I went into the head office in the city, and finally, when my father died, I came here as manager. We're not a large concern as banks go, and we specialize in personal service. Most of our clients have been with us for generations.
Are there many other branches?
5 only. The head office is in Buttermarket.
I expect you remember the Palinode family in its great days.
Oh, I do. 35 years ago, before the Great War, this whole street was lined with carriages. The whole district used to revolve round the Palinodes. It was a great time, and they were very great people. The furs in church, the diamonds when Mrs. Palinode went to the theatre. The Christmas parties for those of us who were lucky enough to attend. When I came back and found them as they are now, it was a shock, a genuine shock.
They're still very charming people.
Oh, yes. One still feels a duty to them. But, my dear sir, then...
Perhaps Edward Palinode was not the businessman his father was?
No.
Miss Jessica tells me that her weekly income is measured in shillings.
Miss Jessica? I cannot discuss that.
No, of course not. When you saw Miss Ruth last, the day before she died, she was quite well then, was she?
Oh, on the contrary. I thought she might be very ill. She was excitable, you know, very overbearing and extravagant in her demands. In fact, when I heard next day... Yes, I'm certain it was the next day that she'd had a stroke, I wasn't at all surprised.
So you accepted the diagnosis without question?
I did, I'm afraid, absolutely. I said, well, I'm not astonished. There's one weight off the shoulders of those poor people. I should never have seen you, I knew it.
There's a person to see the inspector. We don't want him in the front office, Mr. James. I sent him out again. It's a detective. He wants you with the Mews, sir.
Very well. Congreve, when did Miss Ruth Palinoid last call on us? The day before she died, was it not?
No. It was the same day.
No. I'm sure it was the day before. Thank you, Congreve. That will be all.
What's going on out there? It's our right hand neighbour, Mr. Powell's. Now, what's he been up to, eh?
Perhaps he's gone up Apron Street.
Well, he can't do that, sir, because this is Apron Street. You must be a stranger if you don't know that.
I'll see you out, Mr. Campion. I'm afraid old Congreve's hearing varies. He has been with us a great many years and has certain privileges, or thinks he has. I tell you, even money isn't what it used to be. That's pure heresy, but sometimes I believe it. Good morning.
Where is it, Dice?
It's not here, Mr. Luke. Go on, Mr. Bowles, tell us again. Where is the coffin you fetched out of the cellar at Portminster Lodge last night?
At number 59 Lansbury Terrace, where we're just off to now. If I'd only known you wanted to see it, Mr. Luke, I'd have cut off me right hand rather than have used it. I'd have been obliged to oblige you. I would, really.
Beautiful nature you've got, Bowles. The body is actually in it, is it? All the relatives standing round it at this very moment, I suppose.
He happened to need it this morning. It happened to fit. He happened to have an accident with the one he made for a customer. He happened not to know we might be interested.
You've put the word to me, Master Sergeant.
We'll just take one more look round the house, if it's not inconveniencing you.
No, that is a pity. I can't manage it, Mr. Luke. Not unless we go down Lansbury Terrace at a gallop, and that might be misunderstood and cause bad feeling. But as luck will have it, I've got my brother-in-law in the kitchen. He's sitting over the fire with an heavy head. He'll be pleased to show you around and be a witness.
Very well, we'll do that. See you after the party, Bowles.
You didn't ought to joke, Mr. Luke. Not on this subject.
Ah, my dear Inspector, welcome to our humble kitchen. I saw you chatting among the crows, so I wandered round the front and through the shop. Lug says they handed him a Mickey Finn last night.
Oh. What did they dilute it with?
A Guinness and two halves of bitter, I ask you. Me? I went off, like one of me brother-in-law's customers, and now I feel like one. That's typical of Jas. Absolutely tip. In his own house. Yeah. Well, there's nothing here. I've staggered round the old tuppenny-apenny outfit, and there's not a wax flower out of place. I don't know what the old hypocrite's up to, but whatever it is something extra.
Extraordinary?
No. I speak English, I hope. Extra, meaning something else. Something that's nothing to do with the little bit of now it's your turn over the road. Oh, keep me quiet if you're Christians. I can hear a fly stamp this morning. Jas is up to something extra. Nothing to do with worm shoveling and nothing to do with the Palinodes. And we knew that, I should hope, when we got the letter from him in the first place. What he didn't realise was that my employer would make a job of it. And he certainly didn't expect me to come for a brotherly stay. Luring us down here by hinting he could tell us something. Well, he could, but it's not the lot. Miss Ruth Palinode used to like to put a bob on an horse, like anybody else might. Rowley did it for her. Jas thought it was interesting because it was secret. Ignorant persons often make that kind of mistake.
Yeah.
Did she ever win?
Now and again. Lost in the long run, like most women do.
Yes, well, that explains a lot. Money's tight. If one member of the family goes bust, the burden falls on the rest. How's that for a motive?
Though no motive for murder is exactly first class. What is Jath up to, Lug, do you know?
Not yet, Cook. Give us an hour. Shifting booze, perhaps.
What gave you that idea?
Oh, it crossed me mind, that's all. It's something heavy that has to be carried careful.
Ah, righto, Lug. Keep your eyes open. I'll see you later.
Perhaps you could join me for a spot of meatloaf in the plate layers. About 12:30?
Right, good. I'll see you then.
Yeah, he's in a hurry. Late for a funeral, do you think?
Oh, good morning. This is number 59. I'm afraid I'm very late.
Oh, you are, sir. They've been gone over half an hour.
Oh, which way? I mean, it's down there, isn't it?
Well, sir, it's quite a distance. You'd better take a taxi.
Yes, I will. I shall know it, shall I? I mean, you know these big cemeteries. A little awkward to arrive. Wrong function, you know. Tell me, they're in limousines, are they?
Oh, why, you can't miss it, sir. It's horse carriages. Very nice and old-fashioned. There's a lot of flowers and a lot of people. And you'll see Mr. John.
Yes. Yes, indeed. Well, I must hurry. Yeah. I shall know it. A great many flowers on a perfectly black coffin.
Oh, no, sir. On an oak coffin, rather light.
Oh, yes.
Oh, you'll know it, sir. Of course you will.
Yes, of course. Yes. I shall take a taxi. Thank you.
Feeling a bit better after your orgy?
Very funny, I'm sure. It shouldn't have happened to a dog. And there's something else funny, too. I was just...
Sorry I'm a bit late, sir. We're short-handed, what with that Greek street shooting. We've got a general call out for the gunman, but no sign of him. Did you see who's in the bar? Clary Grace, thick as thieves with that old blop lip from the back.
Congreve? They make an unlikely pair.
Don't they? A lot of relationships around here are a bit unusual, if you ask me.
Yeah, like the one in the chemist's.
Bar Wild?
Yeah, there's a rum shop. And the old corpse behind the counter, he's not ordinary. And then, there she was.
What are you talking about?
That's right. Behave like an official. Don't listen and then ask. They missed something on that there island you was going to govern. I am telling you. I went into the chemist for a pickup after my unhappy accident last night. And as I was talking to old Paragoric, in she come, Bella Musgrave. Her as used to batten on the bereaved at funerals.
Oh.
He'd give her a look, and she give him one, and then she went in the back.
Sure.
Yeah, it was her all right. Same black veil, same gentle eyes, full of hypocrisy.
An extraordinary thing.
She's up to something, I'm certain. She might be his auntie. He's the kind of chap to have that kind of relation. But then again, she might not.
Who is Bella Musgrave?
Oh, just a small-time crook whom we once saw sent down for 18 months, selling Bibles in a questionable manner. How did the doctor take your analyst's report?
Oh, resigned, you know. But you remember old Miss Jessica, the gal from the park?
Yes.
Now, he says she's been giving the old man in the dairy cups of poppy tea for his neuralgia. The right poppy at the right time of year, and he'd have been out like a light. Could detain her on suspicion, but it sounds so balmy, doesn't it?
She's not, though. Now, I've just had a session with her solicitor. She persuaded Mr. Lawrence and Mrs. Vadney to agree to his telling all about the family fortunes. She's anxious to assist as much as possible, well, so she says. It seems they all own shares in absolutely worthless commodities. Mr. Edward apparently had a genius for unsuccessful speculation. Nothing came up. Now, there was a rumour that brownie mines might have a spark in them, but that fizzled out too.
Mm-hmm.
Evadney and Lawrence lost faith in him and kept £7,000 each. Jessica went on longer. Edward died worth just £75 in cash. And £100,000 in various shares, nominal value only. They've all willed their worthless shares to their friends, just to show that they would have done something for them if they'd been able to.
It's true.
Yes, Miss Ruth appears to have had a spiteful streak. She left her parcel of brownie mine shares to the captain to pay him back for
pinching her room.
Not worth anything, I suppose.
Ah, a motive, you think? No, and I'm afraid not. Anyway, there's no reason to think that he knew in advance he was going to get them.
Not much light there, is there?
No, but I think I'll drop a line to Superintendent Yeo. He may be able to shed a little. Oh, by the way, friend Jass has been caught out.
Yeah?
Yes, the Lansbury Terrace affair was a perfectly respectable oak coffin. Not Mr. Edwards' resplendent ebony.
The old perisher. We'll get him, never you fear.
Dear Yeo, help. There are one or two gaps at this end which need filling, if you will. One, known associates of Lucky Jeffries, housebreaker, currently in Charleswood Infirmary. Two, what has Bella Musgrave been up to lately? Any recent convictions? The local chemist is on her visiting list. Three, is there any henbane growing in Hyde Park? How easy is it to extract hyoscine from it? Four. What do you know about Brownie Mines? Five. What have you been looking for lately, which is A, 5 or 6 feet long, B, distinctive in shape, C, fragile? Silks are old masters in rolls, occur to me. But it could be some delicate or illegal piece of machinery. We only ask because we want to know. Yours, Campion.
Ah, there you are.
Ah, Lug, good. You can take this to the post.
Not now, Cot. You wanted it at the chemist's. Mr. Luke sent me.
Why, what's up?
Can't tell you. My lips are sealed. Come on, if you're coming.
All right. Mrs. Tornet.
What have you done? Upset the almond essence?
I ought to be shot. Struth, I could do it myself. Look at this little lot.
Who is it?
Pa Wilde, the chemist. I wasn't even questioning him, really. I'd hardly begun. I met Lug outside the Thespis, and he told me he'd seen a van drive up here about four and take a packing case on board.
That's right. It was heavy, and Pa gave him a hand. Two men got up in front of the van, and Bella Musgrave, in her funeral clothes, hopped in her back.
Really?
Didn't get a chance of a chat. They were off in double quick time, but I got the number.
What shape was the packing case?
Long and thin. I didn't see it close to.
Ah. So, what did you say to Pa and Luke to drive him over the edge?
I just asked about his girlfriend, and he went all coy. So I said, come off it, Pa. She's just left here with her box. What's Mourning Musgrave done? Taken her little black bag and left you for Jas Bowles? He began to shake. Just a minute, Mr. Luke, he said. Went behind the counter, made a noise like a pheasant, and went down among the bottles. I can't believe it was necessary. The hyacinth may have come from here, but I never suspected him of administering it. He was a silly, vain old chap, not the size for anything big.
Well, perhaps it wasn't so much what he'd done as what he knew. Did you recognize either of the two men in the van, Lug?
Yeah, one of them was a perfect stranger that I know, but the other one looked like the ghost of Peter George Jelf. Reunion, that's what it is, Cock.
Who's Jelf?
Ah, well, the Fuller gang was before your time, I fancy. Late 20s, remarkably unchoosy. Jelf was the third in command.
Hired malefactor, them was the judge's words, not mine. Anyway, Guff, they'd all been upstairs. A room with nothing in it but two hard chairs facing each other. An armchair what Jas had sat in. Must have been him. Great fat dent in the cushion. And a smell of them little woofsy smokes. Oh, he'd been there, and I'd take my oath on it.
Two chairs, eh?
Yeah.
It's very suggestive. The question is, what does he put in it?
Eh? Put in what?
The box which rests on the chair.
Mr. Campion, this is a treat, this is.
Ah, we're alone, Mr. Bowles.
Yes, I thought the boy was here in the kitchen, but he's gone back to his work. Maggers is away. As soon as there was that tragedy over the road, he came hurrying in, said goodbye, and we haven't heard of him since. Would you sit here, sir, on my right, so I can hear you better? Oh, it's a very shocking thing, poor Wilde. He wasn't a friend of ours exactly, but we were very close, nodding acquaintances, as one might say. I didn't go to the inquest, but I sent Rowley, out of respect. Suicide when the balance of mind was disturbed, they brought in. Well, that's always the kindest way. We're putting him down tomorrow morning. I don't suppose there'll be a penny to come, but we shall do him with as much luxury as if we were waiting on you yourself.
I wanted to ask you why you bothered to send for me.
Aye, sir. I sent for you. Oh, you're making a big mistake there, sir. I didn't know such thing. I'm glad to see you here, Mr. Campion, because I want the whole thing cleared up, and that's a fact. But no, sir. I didn't send for you, sir.
I can see that a police inquiry wouldn't be very good for your trade.
No, sir.
No, the publicity can't be helpful. And I realise that you knew that Miss Ruth Palinode was in the habit of putting an occasional shilling or two on a horse. But I don't think that point was strong enough to make you send for me.
No, Mr. I didn't send for you, Mr. Campion, but trade is trade, and the police are the first to forget it. I do allow that. Now, there is a little something that perhaps I ought to mention. I only saw one thing that was really curious when Miss Ruth Palinode died. It was a very small thing. May not have had any significance, but it made me think. I saw Mr. Lawrence Palinode washing up.
Really? When was this?
Tea time. Nearly five. Miss Roper sent Mr. Grace over. I went up alone, all quiet and respectful, for we do tread as light as we can. I hesitated in the doorway, and there he was, washing up.
Mr. Lawrence Palinode?
Yes,
sir. In Miss Ruth's bedroom?
Yes. There was the dead lady, covered with a sheet, and there was her brother. Cool, but nervous, if I make myself plain. With every mortal cup or glass or spoon the room contained out on the old-fashioned washstand, he was dipping the last one into the jug as I came in. It was quite open.
Is that all?
The whole truth, sir. I thought it was significant.
Have you told anybody else?
No one. Well, it's some time ago, and it's only my word against his, isn't it? Could I offer you a glass of anything? Mr. Luke says I drink embalming fluid. That's only his idea of fun.
No, thank you. I'm just going.
Must you? Oh, let me show you out, sir. It's been an honour to have you in our humble home, Mr. Campion.
Oh, there you are, dear. You managed to get round the crowd all right. That's right, Ducky. Oh, people are so gruesome, aren't they? Oh, some of them are reporters, of course. They've gone off the Greek Street shooting now that there's been another death in Apron Street.
Yes, the vultures will gather. They weren't interested in me, I'm glad to say, although the captain and Mr. Lawrence were having some difficulty getting through.
What, together? Oh, they must have made it up then. Oh, they were having such a row earlier on. But Mr. Lawrence is never angry for long, bless him.
I should have thought the captain's resentment would have died with Miss Ruth.
Oh, yes, Ducky, that's all right. It sounded as though they were arguing about those horrible letters the doctor keeps getting. Oh, everybody seems so scratchy nowadays. And Clary's angry with me too. He says I give the family more than they pay for. Well, what if I do? I can afford it. I won't have him trying to pump old Congreve about my bank account. It is not his business.
Of course not, Auntie.
Oh, I'm sorry, Al, but I do get wound up.
I think I know why you do it. I was looking at Professor Palinode's portrait in the dining room this morning.
Oh. Were you, dear? Well, don't be too clever, will you?
As you like.
Oh, well, by the way, you've got a visitor. Now, he seemed quite anxious not to meet anyone, so I put him in your room. Name of Glossop, I think he said.
Glossop?
Mm-hmm.
Well, the only Glossop I know is the financial advisor to the Treasury.
Oh, la-di-da.
I've only met him once or twice.
Well, I don't know, Ducky, I'm sure. You'd better go up and see, hadn't you? But don't be late for supper now.
All right, Auntie, I'll be good.
Thank you so much. I'm so unpractical with electrical things.
Yeah.
You must come to my theatrical conversazione tomorrow. Just after 6. Don't be late. I get too tired to talk rather soon. Oh, you're out a lot.
Ah, Sir William. I hope you've not been waiting long.
Extraordinary woman.
Hmm?
Seemed to take me for an actor.
Oh, really?
Made me mend an electric kettle.
Yes, yes. Well, she's good at getting people to do things for her.
Is she your murderess?
A runner-up.
Mm. I've been talking to Stanislaus Oates, or rather, he's been talking to me. You put a query to Superintendent Yeo. Alarm bells rang. That is why I'm here.
Ah.
Only 4 reliable people are involved, so that should be all right. Now, Campion, what exactly do you know about Brownie Mines?
Oh, almost nothing. A woman who's been murdered held a number of shares. They're thought to be worthless. Some months ago, there was a rumour about them.
It was thoroughly squashed. Now, I'm not going to commit myself, because the fewer people who know about it, the better. But I'll tell you this much. 3 derelict gold mines, I won't say where, of course, are suspected of yielding a certain metal of great scarcity, which is in demand for the manufacture of certain items vital for this country's defence. It's now being investigated. Secrecy is absolutely vital. I tell you, if some fellow has murdered to get hold of that scrip, then he's a crook.
A thoughtless chap all round. Very well. We will know nothing here. Save that there is a motive in the stuff.
Excellent. Yeah. Keep me posted. And you haven't seen me.
Oh, of course, Sir William. Was it dark when you came in?
Not quite. A pity, since I was so anxious we should not be seen together, that I took the trouble to find you, instead of fixing a meeting at the club or in the office. But I don't think I was recognised. I'm hardly a public figure.
No, still, it would perhaps be as well if you could go down through the basement kitchen.
Basement?
Well, you see, that way you can avoid the hordes on the front step. No, you can rely on Miss Roper's discretion.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I'll do that. Goodbye, Captain.
Goodbye. Dear Amanda, I expect you to receive my other letter by now. I don't know how much longer I shall be away. We're still largely in the dark, though I have great confidence in Charlie Luke. It's rather like working with a human dynamo. He's very young for the job, but he will go far, I'm certain. He never lets go, you see, the best quality for a detective to have. My best love to Sexton Blake Jr., and to you as always, Albert.
It's only beer.
Ah, Luke.
What a country. You drink pretty. I'll have a bottle. Oh, what a day. No go with Edward. Looks like natural causes. Greener's been reported in France. He's one of the Greek Street pair. The other one has vanished into thin air. I've got a couple of chaps going over par wild stock. Nothing there so far. Oh, and the docs had another poisoned letter.
Oh.
You can read it. Here.
Oh, thank you. Oh, dear. You, blank, etc. Oh, well, he could have spared him that. Blank, dear me. Glass tells all, don't forget. Burn in hell? Quite a little viper, isn't she? It is she, I suppose.
Oh, yes, no doubt about it. We've had the shrinks on it.
Well, what it all seems to boil down to is, Yes, here we are. The brother is the one who's being clever. He's got what she left to the captain, who is a poor fool. Fascinating, if true.
How come?
Because Miss Ruth's legacy to the captain, whom she disliked, was 8,000 preference negotiable shares in a deadly secret. Sit down and listen to me break a confidence. And then I think we must have a word with Lawrence. Forensic medicine, toxicology, mental abnormality and crime. Good Lord, quite a library. Lawrence Palino becomes more interesting.
Chase me. Foul-mouthed feeder again, look.
What?
All by itself on the mantelpiece.
Envelope as well.
Addressed to Lawrence?
Yes. Postmarked yesterday.
May I, Well, worse and worse. She must be mad. Seems to want to insist, though. You have robbed a fool.
We didn't go over this room when we interviewed him before.
No.
I may as well admit I didn't understand a quarter of what he said last time. He takes me to the fair every time he opens his mouth. But why hasn't he reported this? Looks damn funny to me.
Well, you can ask him now.
Did you seek permission to come in here? I see you have a letter of mine. May I have it?
Do you mean you wrote it?
I? In moments of aberration, I suppose. It's an interesting theory, but hardly tenable. I have seen another like it addressed to the doctor. It is the same handwriting. It's a woman, you know. Well, probably you don't find that as shattering as I do.
Are all these library books?
Most of them. I wished to read up on the subject when I read the first anonymous letter. You see, someone on the inside must have written them. She knows so much about us.
What made you so sure your sister Ruth had committed suicide?
You are remarkably well informed.
You washed up every cup and glass, you see. Had it been only one, we might have been forgiven for arriving at a different conclusion.
The undertaker saw me, I suppose. Ruth was extravagant and had mortgaged her little income. Hic vivimus, ambitiosa, pauperate. Evadne and I taxed her with it. She went to bed very upset and died the next day when it occurred to me that she must have poisoned herself. I rinsed the vessels in her room because, I suppose, I didn't want anyone else to pick up anything dangerous by mistake.
Where did you get the poison?
That really is something for you to find out. The sedge is withered. I know nothing of any details. Ruth had a faulty mathematical streak. She had an absurd system, you know. I worked it out afterwards and found it completely unsound.
Why do you think someone inside the house wrote the letters? Anyone could have told tales to a friend in the meeting.
It must be someone sympathetic to the captain. The letters accused me of robbing him, which is ridiculous. I gave him £5, a lot of money for the shares. They were quite worthless, and my sister Ruth left them to Seaton to annoy him, since he is so notoriously short of money. He's not one of the family, and I felt it my duty to see he was not victimized. It was very tasteless of Ruth.
Would you sell them again for a fiver?
Oh, certainly not. I shall never sell them. Well, have you finished your interrogation, Inspector?
Okay, for the moment. You'll remain in the house, won't you, Mr. Palinode? Oh. Shall we go up, sir?
Off to plague Seaton now, no doubt. Close the door behind you, if you please.
It's no use. The captain's had it.
Oh.
Must have drunk the whole bottle. One way of avoiding questioning. He'll have to sleep it off before we get a peep out of him. Here's a letter to you from the super.
Ah, good.
And a pile of memos for me. Nothing on Poir Wilde, except that he was in debt all round. Doctor's report says undernourished. Suggests blackmail, I suppose. Could have done anything in his time. He was a chemist, wasn't he?
Well, Yeo says Bella Musgrave hasn't stepped over the edge for years. Lucky Jeffries died without saying any more. And an amateur couldn't make hyacinth from henbane.
Mm. My chaps have turned over Bowles' shop and found not a thing out of place, except that he was sweating profusely.
Just as he was when I went and asked why he'd sent for me. Oh, he denied it, by the way. Couldn't get rid of me fast enough. And I just caught a glimpse of old Congreve from the bank, hidden in the corner as I left.
Pal of Justice as well, eh? Needs watching, that one.
No sign of an import order for a body or anything.
None. He says there's no call for it nowadays. He's got a nice team of horses, though. You've seen those. And a thing called a coffin break, like a cigar box on wheels. Nice high box seat for the driver. Must be the last one in the country.
Mm.
I think I go home. Miss Ruth has been poisoned. Pa Wilde has done himself in. The captain has put himself out. Jas is innocent, but sweating. And we're just exactly where we always were. Don't even know who wrote the filthy letters.
Now, do you know I've had a thought about that? That other letter to the doctor said, glass tells all, don't forget. You got any fortune tellers on your patch?
I ought to resign on this.
Glass sometimes means crystal ball. And the captain is perhaps vain enough to amuse himself with a few superstitious fancies.
And unwittingly give out information about the family at the same time?
Yes.
Of course. She calls herself Pharaoh's daughter and gives readings for a tanner a time. Lives in a little dark street. Real name... God almighty. Miss Congreve.
What?
Damn it, Campion. She must be that old blublet from the bank's sister.
I say, footlights, very pretty.
Candles, courtesy of Rini. Not that Miss Evadne has noticed. The soiree's upstairs. Shall I announce you?
Formal, is it? No, no, I don't. Let's just go up.
I'm not invited. I shall be in the kitchen.
How did you get on with the dusky lady?
Pharaoh's daughter. Confessed at 5 this morning. Did it all for the captain. Grievance against the dock. He'd snubbed her sometime. She's crying all over the cells. Congreve slipped out the back way just as we got there, but we've got a call out.
Oh, Albert, there you are.
Oh, hello, dear.
Oh, isn't it awful about my captain? Fancy him having his fortune told by a... Oh, well, I won't demean myself, Ducky. He says he didn't even guess it was her until she admitted it and threatened to post one to Lawrence. When he found out she had, he sneaked upstairs in a blue funk and put himself out with a bottle I didn't even know he had. Oh, I could kill him. I really could.
What are you doing here? Standing guard to see he doesn't get out?
No, to warn my friends not to drink anything, especially the yellow stuff in the glasses. She makes it with groundsel and it has a very funny effect.
Oh, no.
When you've had enough uplift, dear, come down to the basement. Carrie's got a bit of a bar going. Oh, and by the way, Mr. Lugg's come back. He's waiting in your room.
Oh, right. No, I've never done that.
Hello. Care for a baked meat?
What are you doing exactly?
Helping Cock. I come round looking for you, and the old girl with a voice like a beak persuaded me to hand around. It's funny mutt I'm pushing out, but I've took a fancy to her.
Miss Evadne?
The elder Miss P, yes. A lovely woman.
Did you find out anything?
No, not a lot. Apron Street used to be a joke until about a year ago, and now no one mentions it anymore. Only bloke I could hear of who actually said he was going up Apron Street was a finger called Ed Geddy. And he ain't been seen since.
Geddy?
Hmm.
Oh, the girl in the kiosk murder, Geddy?
That's the one. Got clean away.
Anything else?
I looked up Peter George Jelf and his little lorry. Looks quite respectable. Got a two-man haulage business in Fletcherstown. Ah, PC Resistance I've kept till last. The coffin's back.
What?
Startled you, eh? Did me. I peeked through Jazzy's shed window, and there it was, packed flat.
Do you mean it had hinges?
Might have had, didn't see. It was the right one, all right. Black as a piano, and as much gold on it as a commissioner's trousers. Well, let's get back to the blowout. Now, make up your mind what you're going to have. A cup of yerba mat or a small nettle pot?
God, no.
Yes, there's a rash and something else as well. Mm. Smells as if it come out with the flowers in the hall. There's not a lot of call for that.
Good evening, Mr. Campion. Nice to see you.
Oh, good evening, Doctor. Nice party.
Yes. Is your colleague about?
No, I don't think he's...
Oh, it's you.
Oh.
Isn't this wonderful? I put a poultice on the grocer's knee and it's done him good. The doctor admits it, don't you, doctor?
Excuse
me.
Oh. No, he has very little grace. He can't see, you see. But doctor, you do admit, don't you? Oh, here you are. I'm so pleased to see you.
Good evening, Miss Ballinger.
So great a number of people.
It's certainly a larger gathering than usual. Good evening, Mr. Campbell.
Mr. James?
So, you didn't bring your nice friend Sir William Glossop after all.
Is that the Glossop of the PAEO Trust? A most brilliant man. Was he here?
Oh, excuse me.
Oh, yes. He was waiting for this clever man and did me a little service. He did not introduce himself, but he left his hat on a chair, and I read his name in it. I'm very long sighted, you know.
Adrian, are you thinking of reciting for us?
I thought that was to be a treat for next time. I do hope so, for I really must not stay today. A most enjoyable evening, Miss Paladin. Good night. Good night.
Good night.
Well, don't let that put you off, Adrian. Hardly a mind.
You're wanted, cock. What? Something's happened to Mr. Lawrence. Miss Roper says he's died.
Oh, poor old chap. Never mind, you're all right now, Ducky. Well, how much longer have you got to go on bothering him, Mr. Luke?
He had something quite different from the others, Campion. A different colour, a different stink.
Did he? I don't want to commit myself, Luke, but I think it was something more than a purely herbal poison. The Tessin probably saved his life by making him vomit, but I think he had something more.
Someone is trying to make it look like my sister Jessica. There was a scrap of leaf in my glass. It was hemlock, classic poison. I recognized it as soon as I hooked it out. Someone is trying to suggest that Jessica poisoned Ruth and Edward, but she wouldn't be so crude.
No one but his maker killed your brother Edward. He had a stroke. I did the Babinski test. It's infallible.
Will you see Miss Jessica now? And Superintendent Yeo's arrived. They're in the dining room.
Come along then, sir. Look after Lawrence, Sweeney. Good evening, sir.
What have you got, Luke?
Something has disagreed with Lawrence. Did you know?
Yes.
I did not make a mistake. I made a grey nettle drink, and the tansy was yellow. They tell me the stuff Lawrence drank was a deep bottle green.
With leaves in it.
Really? Oh, well, then it could not have been mine. I strain everything most carefully, and I'm very fond of Lawrence.
You are very alike, aren't you? You both so much resemble your father's portrait. And so, oddly, does Miss Roper.
Oh, so you know. Yes, her mother danced, I believe. Of course, my father was a just man and provided handsomely for them. Because we are so impractical, he left Rini all his house property, which is why we accept so much from her. Please, please be very discreet. You see, she does not know that we know. That way there is no embarrassment on either side. Oh, Inspector, is that the glass Lawrence drank from? Do be very careful with it. It is one of Evadne's sherries. She has only two left. They are old Bristol.
Ah, I saw them in her room the first night I came. She must have been entertaining Mr. James in the time-honored manner.
Oh, yes, we always give the bank manager a glass of sherry.
Always?
Yes.
And does the bank reciprocate when you go there?
Invariably.
Lord, what fools. Luke, come on.
Yes, Captain.
You too, Yeo.
Captain.
I hope your net hasn't any holes in it.
I'm not going in without a search warrant, I warn you, Campion. Funny, there must be someone there, a night watchman, somebody.
Yes.
There's been a call after him all day, but no sign. I'm trusting you, Campion.
What on earth?
Now what's happened?
Okay, it's Locke. He's gone in through the window in a shower of glass. Oh, damn it, he's a burglar, isn't he? He'll get the door open, hop it, and we'll rush in and protect the property.
Don't listen.
What the hell's that?
It's Jas. He saved us. He's going up Apron Street before our very eyes. Can we get a car?
Can do.
I hope you know what you're doing, Campion.
Hope on, Governor.
Car Q23 calling all cars. Chief Inspector Luke. I'm pursuing black horse-drawn vehicle with single passenger driver. Technical name, Coffin Break. Repeat, Coffin Break. Last seen, Barrow Road West, proceeding north. Inform all call points. Over.
It's imperative we get to him before he stops.
If you say so. Where's he going?
I think to Fletcher's Town. Peter George Jelf has a haulage business there.
Jelf?
Yes.
That's a coincidence. One of my men ran into him by chance on Euston Station yesterday.
What?
Well, looked legit, but he glanced into the van out of force of habit, and the only thing he had aboard was a packing case marked Conjurer's Stores.
Ah, so that's it. I wondered how they got the coffin back.
Back?
Black horse-drawn vehicle thought to be Coffin Break, seen corner of Greater X Road and Finley Avenue, northwest.
proceeding north up Findlay Avenue at fair speed. Over.
He's shifting. It's round the park already. Down here, driver. We'll cut him off. Damn it, we've lost him. I'd have sworn he had to come this way.
Let me out. He won't risk going on. He'll unload. He'll get away with it.
Central Control calling car Q23. Message for Chief Inspector Luke. Attention, Joseph Congreve, 51B, Terry Street West. Found dangerously ill following murderous attack. Locked in cupboard, upstairs room, Apron Street branch, Class Bank. Over.
Apron Street. He's in Apron Street. What in hell are we doing here?
Quick! Block the road!
Mr. Luke, your car hasn't broken down, I hope.
Get down, Bowles.
Certainly, Mr. Luke, sir, but I'm on my lawful account.
Tell it all at the station. Get down.
As you say, Mr. Luke. Well, this isn't like you. Can any of you gentlemen drive? The mare's not quite like a motor.
Don't worry about that. I'll bring your horse myself. Get in the car.
Very good, sir. I'm in your hands. Shall I go first, Mr. Luke?
Open it up, Bowles.
Open it, Mr. Luke? I hardly expected this, sir.
Get on with it. Got a screwdriver?
Of course. Very well. Stand back, gentlemen, if you please. The gentleman died of a bad trouble. There's no need for you to run any risk. We are used to it, of course. There you are, sir. Hope you're satisfied. It's not really very nice.
Wait. Died, I think you said?
Good Lord. Mm. What a rig. Doped, but still alive.
Oh, yes. They were all alive, of course. That was the object of the exercise. Greener, your Greek Street bird, was the one before this.
What is it, an escape outfit?
Yes, rather a good one. Awfully well done. Courtesy, sympathy, comfort in transit, in fact. They go to Ireland like this with a mourner laid on to weep them through the customs. Bella Musgrave, no less.
I'll be... Who is doing it all? Him?
No, no. That's a boss in the coffin. A genius in his way, but hopeless at murder. How he managed to kill Miss Ruth successfully, I really don't know.
Campion, there's no way to give evidence. What's the first thing, man?
Sorry, sir. His name is Henry James. He's the manager of the Apron Street branch of Plusback.
That's more like it. Now we're getting somewhere. What have you got to say for yourself, Bowles?
It was done out of kindness. Put that down in writing and never let it be forgot. Hunted animals. That's how I saw them. And that's how I saw him in the finish. You couldn't understand him because you don't know Apron Street. It was changing and he wouldn't have it. He tried to stop the clock. I sympathise with that, but he didn't ought to have turned to murder. Couldn't bring myself to believe it of him, not at first.
Yet you did, you know. Because after you'd made the mistake of asking your brother-in-law to investigate, you were terrified that James should find out you'd done so, hmm?
Ah, you noticed old Congreve in my kitchen that night, did you?
Oh, yeah.
You're very sharp, Mr. Campion, I'll say that. He came round nosing and asking funny questions. And I wasn't sure if he was doing it for James or not, so I wasn't going to speak in front of him. Though, in fact, James never trusted him.
Seems to have planned a cosy retirement if the contents of that thing are anything to go by. Is there anything else we want from Bowles at the moment, Campion?
Well, there's always Ed Geddy.
Geddy? Kill the poor little girl who couldn't have blacked his eye for him.
Mm.
Did he get away in this conjuring cabinet too?
Got away. But didn't quite arrive. It was Ed Geddy who gave Apron Street its bad name among the fraternity. Either the drug was too powerful, the coffin too tight, or the journey too long. Ed died at the box. In view of the line he took when he thought Luke was going to raise the subject, Pa Wilde must have dispensed the drug.
It'll be a question of proof, sir, won't it? If it's true.
Well, I think that's about it. The only query is how James knew Miss Ruth's shares in Brownie Mines were going to be worth something after all. It's just one of those top-secret leaks in financial circles, I suppose.
But she had told him she'd left them to him in her will, and he did have the opportunity to do her in almost daily, because every time the Palinodes saw their bank manager, at home or in his office, they drank a glass of sherry together.
Get away. No bank's done that for 50 years.
Aha, except this one. Of course, I should have realised sooner. It was Lawrence's green sherry glass this evening that switched on the light.
I didn't realise James had inherited the shares.
No, he didn't. No, she'd already changed her will, so it was all for nothing.
Oh.
Except that he got Lawrence to buy them from the captain, hoping to take them over as security for a small personal loan. Well, that's my bet. And then he thought to clean up the whole thing by polishing off Lawrence and throwing the blame for both murders onto Jessica. But I don't know where he got the stuff from.
I believe I can throw some light there, sir.
Yes, Dice.
We got it out of old Congreve in hospital. James didn't have to get the hyoscine. It was there, in the corner cupboard of his office, right beside the sherry and the glasses, in a sealed glass box marked poison.
Ah.
It had been there as a curiosity ever since the days of Crippen. Lots of people took a morbid interest about it at the time. Congreve had worked in the bank so long, he always knew about it, and noticed when it wasn't there anymore, and told his sister. When they read about Miss Ruth's symptoms, they put two and two together. They were proposing to blackmail James over it.
Wasn't that cupboard ever cleared out? We've had two wars since Crippen was hanged.
Cleaned, but not cleared, sir. It's like a drawing room piece when you get the door open, full of what you might call relics. The whole place is a bit like that. Mm. We found all the relevant papers in an antique wine cooler in his bedroom. We shall trace all his associates.
Excellent. Excellent. Very neatly wrapped up. I didn't think you were going to get out of this one, Campion.
Your praise is our reward.
Now, if you'll excuse me, it is past my bedtime.
Good night, Luke. Call on me any time.
Oh, I will. Next time you'll get a wire, if not an escort. Good night, and thanks.
Oh, and about time, too, Ducky. Oh, you are a wonderful man.
Yeah.
Look, here's a letter for you, dear.
Oh, thank you.
It came yesterday morning, and nobody thought to give it to you. Come into the kitchen, Ducky, and have some coffee. Clary and Mr. Lug have had a bottle or two, but you're not to be angry with them. Well, it's the relief.
Dear Albert, thank you for letting me know that we're not going to govern that island. I'm so glad. I've been following your case as well as I can from the newspapers, but the reports are very sketchy, I'm afraid, and I fear that any comment I might make would be so wide of the mark as to be irritating. I hope we see you very soon. Lots of love, Amanda. P.S. I can't help it. Have you thought of the bank manager? So shady.
More Work for the Undertaker was dramatized for radio by Margaret Eatall, from the novel by Marjorie Allingham, with Francis Matthews as Albert Campion, Geoffrey Matthews as Lug, and Tim Meads as Detective Inspector Luke. Others in the cast, Runny Roper, Jennifer Piercy, Jas Bowles, George Parsons, Jessica, Rachel Gurney, Evadne, Sheila Grant, Lawrence and Dice, Manning Wilson, James and Glossop, Philip Manicom, Clarence and Captain Seaton, Howard Gourney, Dr. Smith and Yao, Paul Nicholson, and Congreve, Stuart Organ. Other parts were played by James Good and Stuart Organ. The programme was directed in Bristol by Brian Miller.